We're going to have a baptism. Just want to give you a little update over the last, 3 weeks. I'll try to have a picture presentation for you next week. I think we've done 8 or 9 baptisms coming off of camping season. And so we'll, So we have one more this service, and we have one more second service, and we have about 3 or 4 other people that we're trying to get scheduled. So it's been a pretty good summer. Kids, just a heads up, after the baptism, we're going to turn you loose to go to Children's Church, all right?
Well, praise the Lord. Curtis Smith is with us here this morning, and he went on a mission trip this summer. He went to middle school camp, and through the course of the summer, really started his following Christ, and so he wants to make public his profession of faith this morning. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite Curtis to come down. Lord, thank you so much for the call on our lives that you give us. Thank you for the new creation that we become once we say yes to following you. And thank you that you hold on to us so tight and you never let go. And we don't have to worry about our ability to hang on to you, but you hang on to us. And we put our full trust in you, and our faith is in you. And Lord, this morning as Curtis comes, help him know that very fact. And no matter what happens in his life, you're always present, always with him, always working in and around him, no matter what. And he can always put his trust and faith in you. We thank you that we get to witness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Curtis, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and desire to follow him throughout the rest of your life?
Yes.
Amen. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Woo-hoo!
Well, you can tell that we had a baptism earlier. Somebody already took the only white robe that fits both Dick and me and took it off for the laundry. But we're excited because the last couple weeks, you know, God is doing some really cool things in our church, especially with our young people. After camps, I think God is just moving in a very special way. And so today we have another baptism. It's been a pretty awesome time. And so let's run Gavin's video, if we would.
Hi, I am Gavin Bryan, and I am 9 years old.
And Gavin, have you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And you've come forward today to be baptized. Can you tell us why you want to do that?
I want to be baptized because Jesus died on the cross to save our sins, and I want to thank him because I want to spend eternal life with him in heaven so that we'll be with him forever.
That's perfect. Gavin, is there anyone you would like to thank for helping you on your faith journey?
Yeah, there was a lot of people, but I'd like to especially thank my parents and a few of my teachers, like Mrs. Lang and Ms. Murkowski.
Thanks, Gavin.
I have been waiting for this one for a few years because I call Gavin preacher. Gavin asks for I don't want to say a child, but a young person, he asks some of the deepest theological questions that you'd expect from somebody his age. And so we've been waiting for this one for a while. And so finally, God's timing is perfect. And we'll hear today, God's timing is always perfect, and everything is always in his time and not our time. So Gavin, come on down. Like I said, I call him preacher. He'll be walking the halls at Awana's, and he'll be, hey, preacher, how you doing? And just special, like I said, have questions, and the things that he thinks about are just amazing at his age. So, Gavin, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
Yes.
Right on that pronouncement of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe again this weekend, there's somebody out there that has been waiting to be obedient in baptism to the Lord. Again, baptism in and of itself is not a key essential to salvation, but it is symbolic of the relationship you have with Jesus. And in his Great Commission, he says we are to go forth, make disciples, and baptize. And so today, if you're here, you've never been obedient in baptism, I pray that the Lord would speak to you. We're going to pray, and we're going to continue to sing, and I'll wait here again to see what the Lord moves in you. So let's pray, and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and again this morning in which we have celebrated the baptisms of two young people who have made a public profession of their faith, their trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for their salvation. And we know that there are more, Lord. We know that there are others who are maybe waiting for the right time, or it just doesn't seem right, but maybe today would be the time that it all comes together and it just feels right. They know that God is calling them to be obedient. This morning we pray that if that's you, we just ask that you would move them, Lord, to come forward and let us help them be obedient. Bless Gavin, bless Curtis, watch over them, protect them, and those that the last couple weeks that have been baptized, we pray that you would bless them as well, watch over them, keep them, because we know that there is a darker power that loves to stretch us and to try us as we are so bold in our faith. Bless us, watch over us, and keep us, Lord, and always say and do that you are glorified and honored. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Let's go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All right, you all recognize that as what? The Lord's Prayer. Today in our series on discipleship or best practices and growing with the Lord, we want to talk about the discipline of prayer. In Luke chapter 11, we see something very important. The disciples who had been hanging out with Jesus for a considerable amount of time come to him and say, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Now, you don't just go to somebody and ask them to help you learn how to do something or to have them teach you to do something if they're not recognized as being exceptional in that area. I used to teach people how to be personal trainers at Butler Community College. And let me tell you, you wouldn't hire a personal trainer if that person didn't look like they at least put some of their things into practice, that they were halfway decent at it. And same thing here. They come to Jesus, the disciples, not because he is just a rabbi, but because to them, in spending time with him, he has demonstrated to them how important prayer is. He talked about how important prayer is. And so we see in the Bible, in Luke chapter 5, this very thing. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, as often as possible, Jesus withdrew to out-of-the-way places for prayer. If we continue in this chapter and on, in Luke, we see several different places where it talks about Jesus and his prayer life. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Luke chapter 6, verse 28, he talks about the importance of praying for people who would mistreat you or would hurt you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, talks about him praying privately with the disciples. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him. A little bit later, Luke chapter 9, verse 28, it says that he took James and Peter and John up to the mountain to pray with them. So right away when we read Scripture, we have to have an understanding that in order for us to be more Christ-like, to grow in our faith, we too then must need to be people of prayer. Not only as individuals, but corporately as a church, if we want to be who God wants us to be. So I always get a question like, what is prayer? Well, let me give you a simple line here from Patrick Morley, Man in the Mirror Ministries. Prayer is the conversation that turns salvation into a close personal relationship with God. Conversation is an informal exchange of ideas or thoughts or information. It is spoken word. It is an oral form of communication between persons. Right? And I think I want you to make sure that you understand that completely today, that it is a conversation is between persons. All right? Real prayer is a two-way conversation. Unfortunately, for too many of us, prayer becomes a I speak
tell you what I want, what I need, and then I'm gone. But real prayer is a conversation. We talk, God talks. We talk, God talks. I mean, just imagine going to lunch with somebody because you want to have a conversation with them, and they never stop talking the whole time. All they do is talk about themselves and what they want and what they need. Is that a real conversation? Good job. All right. No, it's not. It's not a real conversation. See, one of the things is that we have this idea that prayer has to be something that's way up here. But really, it's just a simple conversation with God. Prayer is a means of communicating with Him. And He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to have this person-to-person talk. I mean, we have all the technology in the world today to communicate with other people. We have text message. We can do face-to-face. Any of you remember, some of you are old enough to remember Jetsons cartoons? I always thought that was the coolest thing in the world, where Mr. Sprockley and George would be talking on TV to each other. And now, it's like that's a common everyday thing that we see everywhere. But we have all these devices, but what He wants is just to have a conversation with us, to speak to Him. And prayer is our direct line right to Him. We never get an answering machine. We never get a busy signal. So He wants us to pray, just have a conversation with Him. So why should we pray? Why is this an important spiritual discipline? Well, the one thing I want you to know is Scripture is very clear that it's expected of us. It's expected of us to have a conversation with Christ. Listen to some words here. Remember, he did a lot of prayer by himself. He did a lot of prayer in groups with his followers. But we always find these words, Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, not if, okay? When you pray, a little bit later, another verse. But when you pray, and then he finally says, this then is how you should pray. There's no doubt in Jesus' words that prayer is an obligatory, not obligatory, it's like not optional, right? It's not something we could do if we want. It says, when you pray, this is how you pray. But He doesn't expect us to do it out of a duty, not to check off a list and go down. You know, we're really good at doing prayer lists. We list all the things that we want to pray for, and we check them off as we go, and then we're done. We close up our prayer folder, and we move on. Now, that's not what He wants. He wants us to have a conversation with Him out of love, not out of a duty, not off something that we're just going to check off and be done. Christ expects us to pray and have a conversation with us because He loves us. Those of you who are married, think if you only had a conversation like for 5 minutes with your spouse once a week, probably not a very good environment. Probably wouldn't be a lot of fun. Or we have our daughters, no matter how old they are, no matter how far they live away, when they come to our house, when they go home, they have to call us. And it's not so that we can say, you know, okay, they went 13 miles in 15 minutes in the stoplights, so they were speeding, that we could get on them about it. It's so we know they got home safely because we love them. And they love us enough to call and say, hey, we got home okay, we're all right. Now, it was more important when we lived like 2 or 3 hours away, but even now, we love it when they call us, even after a 15 or 20 minute drive, and say, hey, we're home, all right, we made it safe. Jesus expects us to pray. Again, when you pray, but when you pray. There's a really cool scene in Revelation where Jesus appears to the disciple John and says, John, write this down. And John, man, he gets his scroll. He's recording. What if Jesus would show up here this morning and say, man, I need you to pray? What would you guys do? You'd drop to your knees so quick. You'd be prayer warriors among all prayer warriors. And that's the thing. He has told us this already, that we are to pray. When you pray, man, Christians would be making their way to Walmart to buy jeans left and right if we got down on our knees and prayed as much. There's a song by Tim Timmons. It was written a couple years ago. It's called Start With Me. And he's asking his pastor, he's a worship leader, and he says, you know, we need revival. He says, how do we get revival going? And the pastor took a piece of chalk and drew a circle on the floor and said, with your knees in the circle. And so he wrote this song about on my knees, revival begins with me. You're my revival song. You start where I belong, on my knees, on my knees. And that's Jesus' will for us, that He wants us to be people of prayer. So why should we pray? Because Jesus expects it. And the other reason is because God's word says so. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer. Now, if you look up the meaning of devote, it means to concentrate on a particular thing. It could be a hobby, it could be an occupation, it could be a cause, whatever it is, but you focus on something. The harsh reality is that all of us are devoted to something, or maybe even more than one thing, but we're all devoted to something. It might be work, it might be a hobby, it might be sports, whatever, but we're all devoted to something. Something that when we concentrate on it, we make it a priority. Something that we're devoted to means we'll sacrifice for it. Something we're devoted to means we'll set aside time for it. That's how we know we're devoted. We could check, look at your checkbook or your bank account and see what things you're devoted to, your calendar. Well, God expects us to sacrifice to make time for prayer, to be devoted to it. He expects us to set aside time, be devoted to it. He expects us to make it a priority, be devoted to it. God expects us to be devoted to prayer. And not just here and there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray continually. God expects us to pray not just once in a while, but continually. And what I'd like you to think of this prayer as a conversation with a loved one. If you love somebody, you talk to them frequently, often. It should be important. You make time to call your loved ones. You make time to call your parents if they're still alive. You make time to do those kind of things. You should always be willing to have a conversation with a loved one. So why not a loved one named Jesus? So the Bible expects us to pray, but he also expects us to pray continually. Now, I know it sounds hard, but what it kind of means is in our minds, we should always have this idea of prayer front and center. So our conversation, with our prayer with Jesus should be like one long conversation throughout the day with frequent interruptions, rather than having conversations with everybody else and we frequently interrupt it for a little bit of prayer. We should be having day-long conversations with the Lord in prayer being interrupted by other people. And so these two verses tell us that prayer is expected and God wants it from us. So if you would tell me, hey, look, I don't have enough time to pray. Again, check your devotion. Check your priorities. What's important to you? Have too much work to do. Check your priorities. Check your devotion. I don't have enough desire to pray. Check your devotion. Check your priorities. God expects us to be people of prayer and to pray without ceasing. Martin Luther has a really good line about Christians and prayer. He says, as it is the business of tailors and to make clothes and cobblers to make shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. And I get it. I know that we're all very busy people. Some of us busier than that, but I want you to just understand that we're expected to pray and to pray without ceasing. So how do we do that? I mean, it's hard. I'm going to schedule to fit things in. I don't know quite how to pray or what to say. So I want to give you a few ideas here this morning on getting this rolling. And so making the commitment to having a prayer life. The first thing is develop a quiet time. Don't, if you're not much of a person of prayer right now, don't go say, I'm going to spend 1 hour in my prayer closet today. Because you know what will happen? 5 minutes in, you'll be like, man, how long have I been here? Wow. It's amazing how when you're watching a football game on TV or something, 5 minutes goes that fast, but go shut yourself in a closet somewhere and start to pray. And 5 minutes seems like an eternity. So pick a time, find a time. It doesn't have to be anywhere, but remember, if you can get someplace where there's no distractions, that's going to be best. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, Jesus got up while it was still dark, and he went off to a solitary place to pray so he wouldn't be distracted. Man, what distractions did you have in those days? I mean, you weren't running off to McNoah's for lamb burgers or anything like that. You didn't have cell phone. You didn't have somebody FaceTiming you or any of those kind of things. But he went away and got away from the distractions of people demanding his time and things like that so he could pray. Now, how did he pray? What kind of prayers did he say when he went off? Well, we can get kind of an idea by the way that he taught the disciples to pray. So we look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and he gives us some hints on how we can pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says, give us today our daily bread. As you begin to pray through the Lord's Prayer, here's a great opportunity to pray for your family, pray for your friends, coworkers, your community, just about anyone, because it says, give us. That means include yourself. Some people think it's wrong to pray for their needs and lift up other people, but it says give us today our daily bread. So here you can stop and pray for the provisions that you need or other people that you know have a need for. Lift them up in prayer. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Pray about an area in life where you need to repent from some of your sin. What are some things that I need to confess to the Lord? Pray about where you might need to forgive someone. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So who do you need to forgive? Who are you carrying a grudge against? Who are you angry or bitter with? Great opportunity to pray for your sins and then also to pray for those who have offended you that you haven't resolved that with. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What areas of your life do you need protection from sin? What are those things that attract you and pull you away from your life with the Lord? Those areas that you need to be protected from sin. And then also pray that you wouldn't be a person who leads others astray. Don't engage in things like gossip or backbiting. Don't tell lies. Anything like that may lead somebody away from the Lord. Those things seem not very harmful, but they can be. So pray, Lord, help me not to be that person. Help me to be glorifying of you and not leading people away from you. Now, if you're a really bold, courageous Christian, pray verses 9 through 11. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because if you pray those verses, you better be willing to listen. You better be ready to answer when you say thy will, and then God tells you what his will is. You can't go, oh, no, that's too much for me. I don't want to go there. You've got to be willing to step up and answer the call if you're going to go there and pray for those. So when you pray, make sure that you're spending some time listening. It's a conversation, an informal exchange of ideas and thoughts and information. You ask God what his will is, he's going to tell you. Make sure that you're ready and bold enough to do that. So if you have trouble praying, take the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. Here's another way that can help you guide your prayer life if you struggle with how to maybe organize it or anything like that. But use the word Acts, like the book of Acts of the Apostles. Use the word Acts, A-C-T-S. The A stands for adoration. Acknowledge God for who he is. Say, God, holy God, heavenly Father, beautiful God, powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all those things that he is. Acknowledge his kindness, his mercy, his grace. Tell him why he is worthy of our worship. Tell him why he's worthy of you having a conversation with him. And then again, C, just like the Lord's Prayer, C stands for confession. Confess your sins. Ask God to forgive you of all the sins that you know about. Now, I want you to keep a short list here, especially for us guys, because, you know, I can go to Sherry and tell that she's upset about something, and I go, hey, honey, you know, whatever I did to make you upset, I'm sorry. What do you think her response is? Ladies, what's your response? You're coming, asking me to, you're apologizing? You don't even recognize what you did wrong? How can you be sorry for something you don't even know you did? Same thing with the Lord. Lord loves it when you come to him and go, hey, you know what, Lord, man, I'm sorry. I really fell short here. I kicked it down the curb, man, I'm sorry. Now, that doesn't mean just sins of commission either, things that you do. That's sins of omission. Like maybe there was an opportunity for you to share the gospel with somebody and you got cold feet and backed out. Maybe there was an opportunity for you to help a homeless person or something like that and you backed out even though you felt God saying, hey, maybe we should help. Sins of omission where you failed to do what God has asked you to do. So confess. Make sure that you keep a short list so you can remember what they are. Remember, prayer, the effectual prayer of a fervent man is, like a righteous man is, we don't want to have our sin interrupt our prayer life. So confess your sins. God, just like you apologize to your spouse or somebody else, God loves it when you hold yourself accountable for your actions. The T stands for thanksgiving. Give thanks. Tell God you're thankful for all of his blessings and his mercies. Hey, let me tell you, today, if you have a roof over your head, man, you are one of the richest people in the world. If you got food in your refrigerator, you're one of the richest people in the world. I want you to think about today when you go home and you walk in the house, what's one of the first things you're going to do? You're going to flip on a light switch. Let me tell you, there are places in the world where that is electricity. There are places we go in Mexico where we're glad to have electricity. There are places in Mexico where we would go help on mission trips that we didn't have plug-ins, so they would, when we were doing construction, they would take the ends of, like, if they got some power tools, like a before cordless, like a corded drill, they'd cut the plug end off and bare the wires and throw them over a power line so that they could have electricity to do things. Now, I always made everybody get away, especially if it had rained. Get away from those guys. But be thankful for those kind of things. Don't take that stuff for granted. Thank God for the provisions in your life, that you have the things that you need. Thank Him for your health. If you're struggling with health problems, thank Him for the healthcare system that we do have. Even as messed up as it is, it's far better than the other alternatives. Like I said, in Mexico, I don't remember what it was like when I was in Germany because we had military care, but like in Mexico, up in the villages where we would go, if you're 60 years old and you get cancer, guess what? Go on home. You live to be 60. That's a pretty good life. Take some aspirin and go home. They're not going to treat you. Unless you have private insurance that costs a lot of money, they're not going to treat you. So even as jacked up as our health care is, you've got doctors. You have access. It may cost you an arm and a leg, but you have access. Nobody's telling you, just go home. Thank Him for the breath that you breathe each and every moment. What I really want to tell you today is be thankful that you can be here this morning. Sherry and I took a few days off, and we went to Branson. Some of you saw my post on Facebook. Sherry saw Red Lobster, and she goes, man, I really feel like some shrimp. And I'm like, well, we can go to Red Lobster any day in Wichita. Let's go to Landry's Seafood. You know, they don't have any of those around here, really. So we go to Landry's, and we got our meal, and our waiter is a young man, obviously of some kind of Middle East descent by his look and his language. And so we're talking to him off and on, and at the end of the meal, Sherry finally goes, hey, I don't want to be rude, but where are you from? And he says, I'm from Turkey. Wow, that's cool. How long you been here? Been here about 2 months. I said, what brought you here? Are you going to school? And he goes, nope, I came here to save my life. What do you mean? Well, he was going to university studying to be an electrical engineer, and he was raised Muslim, and he became Christian, and that automatically marked him. So he had come on a four-month exchange visa, and his hope was that in the 4 months he could raise $10,000 so he could get a student visa and stay here and go to school. But he said this, God has a plan for my life. If I can't save $10,000 and I have to go home, then I'll go home as a missionary. If that costs me my life, then that must be God's plan. I'm not interested in making a lot of money anymore. I'm not interested in the electrical engineering as much. What I want to be able to do is to live my life in freedom to worship and serve the Lord. Now, you can imagine my wife. You guys know she's a baby. You're like, be generous with the tip. I said, well, what's generous? I'm like, oh, that's real generous. But and I told Burke, his name's Burke, but he's been going by Samuel. I said, Burke, man, I said, you need to tell people this story because we take our faith for granted in this country because we don't have to worry about those things. So thank God that you live here in America and you have the freedom to come on Sunday without being marked down by some other group, somebody who wants to lop off your head or burn down your home or burn down your churches, because that's what's going on in other parts of the world. So be thankful. The S in ACTS stands for supplication. It means things that we need. So anything else that you can think of that you need God's help with, this is where you put it here. There's nothing too big or too small. God takes all of those requests and He listens to them. Sometimes the answer is no, sometimes the answer is maybe, sometimes the answer is wait. But this is a great time to pray for all those things that don't fit into any other category. The other part besides quiet time and developing a prayer life is make sure, again, number two, pray about everything. Again, there's nothing that God doesn't want to talk to you about. There's no part of your life that He doesn't want to share with you. Again, 1 Thessalonians say pray without ceasing. Psalm 1 through 2 tells us to meditate on God's word day and night. So take everything to the Lord in prayer. And then the third thing I want you to know when you're following along your notes is pray regularly with other people. Find a prayer partner. Maybe it's your spouse. But find somebody to pray with that will hold you, again, accountable to do this. Get a prayer group started. I'll tell you what, praying with your spouse regularly, not just like at dinner or anything like that, is a great place to do that because it's hard to be mad at someone or argue with somebody if you're praying with them and for them. So get a group, find somebody, set a time, share needs as they arrive. So we're expected to pray, and there are not, those are just a couple ways that we can pray. Again, it's just informal conversation with God that He wants to speak with you on a daily basis. And I want to tell you, where we are as a church today, I think it's important that we are a church of prayer. Not just corporately, but even individually. We need to have both ends covered. And when you are a person of prayer, great things happen for your families. And if great things are happening for your families, it's going to happen for our community. It's going to happen for our church if we become devoted to prayer and make it a priority. If you have your Bibles, your phones, your tablets, whatever it is, turn, if you would, to chapter 4 in the book of Acts. Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 have been out preaching the gospel. They're telling everybody about Jesus. And so they get arrested and they're led before the council of leaders. And they're threatened. But the leaders let them go because they're not sure how they can punish them. Because if they punish them too severely, the people have been praising, that they're afraid that there would be a riot. And so they have to be very careful. They threaten them and then they turn them loose. And so pick up in verse 23 if you would. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So there was something trying, but they went right back to their people and got in their prayer group, and they lifted their voices. They start out by, again, adoring or acknowledging who God is. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. So they begin with acts. They acknowledge who God is, and they say, hey, Lord, you are awesome. And then they ask for protection. They say, watch over us, keep us, protect us. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Shaken in the Bible, or shook, always signifies the presence of God in the midst of the people. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are having a midnight prayer session in jail. They're in shackles, they're having a midnight prayer session, and then all of a sudden we find again the place was shaken. There's an earthquake that rocked the prison where they were. Bible says that wherever two or more people are gathered, He is present. Now, one of the things about the presence of the Lord is sometimes we don't sense His presence. Anybody ever felt like God wasn't with them? Yeah. In Genesis, Jacob is that way. Jacob's traveling and he falls asleep and he wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, oh man, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't recognize it. So if it happens with one of the patriarchs, you know it can happen with us. So when we have a group together, when we have people together, then we're going to know that God is working among us. And then finally, verse 31, the end there says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were all filled, not just the pastors, not just the disciples, but everybody was filled. Every member of the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Pentecost. There had been a great filling of the people on the day of Pentecost. But let me tell you, church, we can't live on past experiences. Okay? We have to be fresh. We have to be renewed. The experience of God, we must always be fresh in our lives. And wouldn't that be an awesome experience as a church body? To be sitting here some morning and then all of a sudden, Sherry and I went to see Samson. And if you haven't seen it yet, at the end of Samson, when he, of course, knocks down all the temple, I mean, the whole theater shakes and everything starts falling. We're sitting about four or five rows back. And so as they start to fall, I reach over in front of Sherry and go like this to protect her. And she thinks, oh, that's so sweet. I'm like, well, they're fake. You know, they're not real. They're not going to hurt. So it wasn't that big a deal. But it was shaken. The whole place shook. And it was just an amazing thing to think, wow, what if? Like, do you desire to be more Christ-like? If you do, then again, make sure you're getting into God's Word. Make sure that you are making worship, corporate worship together, a priority. Make sure that prayer life is a priority. Find some way to get into a quiet place. Have some solitude. Pray. And then pray with other people as well. Here's my challenge for you. For the next 50 days, what I'm going to challenge you to pray like you've never prayed before. From now until October 6th, when we come back that first Sunday in October for the Lord's Supper, I'm going to ask all of you to develop a quiet time. Again, just begin small. If it's only 5 minutes each day, that's fine, but start small. Pray through the Lord's Prayer if that helps you. Pray through the word Acts if that helps. But pray about everything. Pray for others. Pray for our church. Pray for our community. Pray for our teachers as they go back to school. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for the lost, those who need Jesus. And let's see what happens in our church. I also want you to pray for staffing issues here at our church. Because I told you, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, God is going to call you to some things that may not be extremely comfortable, things that may not be pleasant, things that will stretch you beyond your limits. And then you have to be obedient. We talked about Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So being obedient, when you pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, just on heaven as it is on earth, then you have to step out sometimes in faith. I want to share this letter with you from Pastor Dick. Diana and I have answered a call to become pastor at First Baptist Church in Coffeyville. He will serve as pastor beginning October 1st. They've had 21 wonderful years here at First Baptist Augusta and have loved serving here, seen so many great things that God has done. Dick and I have had conversations for some time that at some point in his ministry, there was going to be an opportunity for him to be a pastor of a church. And we, as we talked, we thought maybe it'd be after he retired. But God has worked pretty cool in his life. They were back home about the time of their anniversary and were taking a selfie out in front of the church because this is where they got married and turned around and noticed that they had an interim pastor sign there and didn't think much about it at that time. A couple months later, he got a call from First Baptist Church of Coffeyville and said, "Hey, Dickie, Pastor Dick, would you consider being our pastor? Would you pray about it?" When Dick came here 20 years ago, that church was over 300 people. And today that church is down to around 50, 60 people at best. And they need help. They need somebody to come and to help lead them into the next generation, things that we've been talking about here. It's predominantly an older group of people. Like I said, there are people in there that knew Dick when he was a child growing up in that church. And so Dick prayed, and we had conversations. Dick strongly believes that God has called him to be the pastor that this church needs at this time. They've been doing hymns and organ, piano, and they need to change, and they know that Dick can lead worship. They need to have another mindset of a next generation pastor, and Dick is that. And he's a place that he can go and be loved because they know him. And so when he suggests changes and things like that, they're starving. They want to grow their church. And so Dick has answered that call. Now, if you talk to Dick and you'll get a chance, he'll tell you the idea of preaching every Sunday is going to be something new and it's going to stretch him immensely. But change always causes us to grow. Change will cause us to grow too as we begin the process of finding a new youth pastor. So please today, and Dick will tell you as you get time to come, don't see this as a negative thing. He is being obedient and answered a call where people are dying spiritually, need help. He could have declined, but it's obvious that God has called him to this. So being obedient is part of his act of worship as well. It'll be a big change for him. On the other side of it is, Diana's parents both live in Coffeyville and are not in great health. It gives them a chance to go home, take care of family. So I just want you to be praying for our church. Pray for First Baptist Church Coffeyville. Pray for Dick and Diana as they make this transition. They're going to hang around with us for a few more weeks, help us get youth groups started and do those kind of things. Got to get their house on the market. They got to find a house. A lot of things going on in their life that they're going to need prayer. And I'm going to bring them up here in a moment. And we're going to lay hands on and pray for them. Because we're going to be a church of prayer. We're going to be individually, we're going to be people of prayer, and corporately, today gives us a great opportunity to start our 50 days of prayer. Next Sunday, we'll after second service, we're going to have a get-together in the Friendship Room. We'll have lunch, have everybody an opportunity to come and go and say talk to Dick and Diana, wish them well, give them hugs and kisses and all those kind of things. I'll tell you, this morning it was much more difficult for me to tell you all this because Dick was vital to my coming here. When I was visiting with your search committee to come be the pastor, they wanted to keep everything secret, and I said, no way, man, I'm talking to Pastor Dick. You know, I knew Pastor Dick from camping and things like that, and I knew that he was going to be a vital part of my ministry here, and so I wanted him to know that I wanted him here, that I didn't want him looking for another job. So it's been tough week. When he called me Monday on our way to Branson and said, hey, I was like, oh, man, bummer. But as we talked and we saw the blessing in this, I want you to see it as a blessing Dick and Diana do as well. So that's next week. So now you see why it's important that we started this week with prayer, because we need it. I need it, because this will be difficult. Why don't we bring Dick and Diana up here real quick? I know Diana will be hesitant to come, but I'm going to ask her to come. And those of you who would like to come up and circle around them so that we can pray for them and their ministry going forward, and then also for our ministry of the church. Difficult for the fireballs as well, Deb. So gather around, if you would, and lay your hands upon them. I will tell you, 21 years for a youth pastor is a long time. And I will tell you that 90% of the churches in Kansas would love to have Dick, but now Dick's going to go in another role, and so we're going to bless him. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you as servants, just as the Bible says, and we know that you are God supreme. Just as we had been waiting for Gavin's baptism, and it was in your timing, today we know that Dick accepting a call to Coffeyville has been your timing. There are other opportunities along the way, but this one was it. This was the one that you had been training him for and getting him ready for, and so we are thankful that he was obedient, and for Diana to support him and feel the call as well as they go into a new ministry and a place that is looking to grow, who wants to be a church that you would bless, and they saw Dick and Diana as that vehicle. So we thank you for their obedience and their call. Pray that all of us, as God calls us to whatever it is, whether it's little or small, we pray that we would all be as obedient, even though it may not be as comfortable or something that we like, it's out of our comfort zone, we pray that you would bless us as well for being faithful. We lift up our church to you as well, that we can find somebody that will continue on, to have the great youth group that we have here that's been developed over the last two decades, that it would be a time of blessing for our youth and for our community. And so we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done here and all that you're going to do, not only here, but in Coffeyville. We look forward to hearing the reports of all the things that are going on there from Dick and Diana as they bless the people there, and they are blessed, and as we bless them through our prayers. We love you. We pray that you would watch over us this week as we go forward, that everything we do, everything that we do would be to bring glory and honor to you and to point others to your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Now, Dick, wipe your tears off here and come sing.
Yeah.